just like me.
The White Noise Show with Sarah and Christina.
Hello and welcome to this month's White Noise Show with me, Christina.
And me, Sarah.
We're going to be talking Passing It On. Sarah's got a quiz for me this time round. Woohoo. We're also going to be talking about a new drug that's been tested on mice, apparently able to possibly cure albinism. So we'll be talking about that later. Maybe not in that order. I have no idea. So we have an email from Vidushi Kothurai, which is a really, really long and lovely email, which Sarah and I have both read. And they've sent loads of ideas for what we can do in our show, which we are working through and going to possibly use. So thank you very much. And anybody else, please do send some ideas in. We also had an email from Jadeen Ingram, who's a 13-year-old student with albinism, who's never met somebody with albinism before. And she wrote lots of lovely things about our podcast, which is nice to hear. But she was also going on about, Sarah, you'll like this, an iPad app. She was singing the praises
obviously.
Of iPads, obviously, called Brushes. It's an art app. Have you heard of it?
No.
Well, it's called Brushes, and she uses it for art, and she uses it at school, and apparently it's very accessible and very great. So if you're artistic and you've got an iPad, Brushes is the thing to use.
Thank you very much, Jadeen.
And we also had a lovely email from Adrian, who sent us a wallaby story, but unfortunately the link didn't work. So, Adrian, if you want to send to me that again, that'd be great. And another lovely email from Kat Forsley. Sarah.
Yes, Christina.
What have you been up to lately, then?
Well, Christina, I went to China.
You went to China?
I went to China. I went to China to race in the Triathlon World Champs.
Ooh.
Yep. Ooh, went to Beijing.
And how did you do?
I came second. I got a silver medal. Seems to be my medal of choice this year.
So, have you taken it off since you won it?
I have, because when I rolled over at night time, it like stuck in my chest. So
Silver anymore? Is it kind of like a dirty colour?
Well, yeah, the shower again kind of kept taking the sheen off it. So
Overusage,
yeah. I mean, they don't put that with the instructions when they give you a silver medal, do they?
No, please remember to take it off.
Mm. Yeah, at some point. Yeah.
Did you get a bouquet of flowers as well?
I did get a bouquet of flowers. Yes, I did. Oh. And it had some lovely lilies in it. Unfortunately, we flew home a couple of days later and I had to leave it behind because...
I was going to say, you wouldn't be able to take those home, wouldn't you?
I don't know if I was allowed or not. I didn't think about that. I just thought about space and things. I just thought, I don't think I'd...
A bit ungrateful.
Well, I just didn't think it would, like, they'd live very well in my hand luggage or in my, my case. So I didn't do it.
So tell me about Beijing.
It was cool. It was actually really cool. It was really busy and bustling, and the triathlon was kind of awesome. We had lots of different competitors from all over the world, which was great. And it was really well organised, and China was beautiful. Yeah, it was great fun. I think the only slightly random thing about the whole experience was that I didn't get to have a single speck of Chinese food.
No, that was my really reason bizarre. For going out. Forget the running, all about the food.
It's all about the food. Well, that was what I was hoping for as well, but apparently not. Apparently, all the hotels that we were staying in the area we were staying in were just catering for the triathletes. So they tried to make all of Western food, and we didn't get an opportunity to kind of venture very far because we were kind of just doing triathlon stuff. So basically ended up just eating Western food the entire time I was there.
And did you spot any Chinese people with albinism while you're out there?
I didn't spot any Chinese people with albinism whilst I was out there. I didn't at all, I have to say. But what I did do before I went, which has sort of inspired my quiz for today, actually, Christina, I did sort of do a little bit of research about sort of albinism and the perceptions of albinism in China, because I thought, I wonder what they will make of me. And as it happened, they didn't seem to make a lot of me, which... I'm not sure why, but I'll go into that as part of the quiz, I think.
You should be used to that, Sarah.
I should be used to people not making a lot of me. Yeah, you're quite right.
If you want to get in touch, email us, thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com. That's thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com.
So are you ready for your quiz?
I'm ready for my quiz if you want to give me a quiz.
I'm so ready to give it to you. Right. So... the quiz today is a true or false quiz, and it's about albinism and myths surrounding albinism. So, I'm going to tell you a myth, and you have to tell me whether it's true or false. So not if, I mean, all of them are obviously false in terms of they're all myths, but is it, is that really what the country believes? Does that make sense now? Is it a real yes. myth?
Right.
Not okay. if the myth is real. That is very complicated, isn't it?
The, those instructions, they've baffled me.
You'll get it as we go along. Some of it's a bit heavy, right? Just so you're aware. Okay, true or false? In Zimbabwe, modern folklore posits that sexual intercourse with an albinistic person will cure one of HIV.
I love the use of the word albinistic. I think that's better than the actual question. I'd say that's true.
You're correct, that is true. Okay, number two, you're doing well so far.
100%.
In France, it is believed that albinos originate from the small mountain communities of Mont Blanc.
So that's false.
Yeah, you're right, it's false. Okay. True or false? In East Africa, it's believed that albino body parts, including arms, legs, you know, blood, all those kinds of things, give good luck and can be used to create wealth. True or false?
Well, I know the crisis out there at the moment, but I thought it was to like ward away evil spirits and stuff. Well, I'll go with true.
It's true.
Sadly.
Okay. In Jamaica, people with albinism were historically degraded and regarded as cursed, so were outcasts from their communities.
Well, I've got 50-50, haven't I? So,
you have got 50-50.
I mean, we're not playing like millionaire, but, you know, I'm not talking about 50-50. I've got 50-50%. I'd say that was a truth.
It is a truth. Okay, you ready for your next one? You're doing well. I've got 100%. In the 1970s, it was believed that albinism was caused by the conceiving children following a drunken night of snowballs.
As much as I'd like to believe that, I think that's probably false.
You're right, it's false. How did you get that one?
Well, I don't know. It was a hunch.
Okay. Hopi Indians believe that people with albinism bring good luck and have supernatural powers.
That's true.
That's false.
Actually.
So, I was doing a little bit of research on the internet and I thought that one was true, so I was looking for that one. But then I came across a study by, get this, Wolf and Grant in 1962. Look at that, I have a reference.
Ooh.
So they don't believe that at all. Apparently, people with albinism in their community are just accepted as any other member of the community with no particular special attachment to their condition.
Who am I thinking? Am I thinking of...
Don't ruin the rest of the quiz.
Okay, sorry.
In 19th century America, albinism was considered such a bizarre trait that people with this condition were exhibited in circus sideshows. Furthermore, with the advent of the camera, these individuals were featured on postcards, which were widely sold. True or false?
Well, I don't know, because... Well... Are you hitting something?
I'm moving my iPad around so I can read the next bit.
Oh, right, because it's really annoying. Okay. I'd say that was true.
It is true. You're right.
But people with albinism are freaks. What are they going
it's
on
true.
About?
It's true. I know. I'd still expect us to be in freak shows, so I'm going to earn my living.
It's quite like
my millions.
I'd quite like to be in a freak show.
Quite easy, wouldn't it? You could just sit there. Yeah, I like that. Should we do one? Let's do it. Let's set it up.
Does anyone else want to be in our freak show? TheWhiteNoiseShow@gmail.com.
Awesome. If we can get a whole clutch of us, that'd be fantastic.
Bab.
Oh, do you like that? I use the word clutch, like a clutch of eggs, a clutch of albinos.
A clutch of albinos. Ooh, I don't know if I like that.
What our collective name would be. Like a tower of giraffes or a pride of lions.
An igloo.
An igloo of albinos.
A
a snowstorm
of albinos. That's good. A snowstorm of albinos. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I like it. I like
anyway,
it.
Anyway, back to the quiz. Not finished yet. Sorry. Hello. Next question.
Right.
In Essex, people with albinism are thought to be the sad minority who haven't been able to find their way to a tanning salon following their ritual monthly hair bleaching. True or false?
Well, sadly, I think that they probably do think that, but actually I think in reality it's false.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Sorry.
And then I'll go on to my Chinese. This is my Chinese one now. True or false? The Chinese believe that people with albinism do not have a soul.
That's true.
Yes, apparently it is true, although I've only found it in one or two places on the internet, so it might not be that true. But apparently this is the case. And actually, when I was in China, interestingly, all of my teammates, who are also Caucasian, had lots and lots of attention, and lots of Chinese people wanted photographs with them, and they wanted to be seen with them and everything else. And nobody once asked for a photograph with me, and Chinese people barely looked at me.
That's because you're ugly.
That's
interesting.
That's just because I'm minging.
Sarah, I wouldn't have you in a photograph of me. In fact, somebody recently called up and said, do you have a photograph of Sarah? She's your busy mate. I said, oh, no. I do like my iPhone. I wouldn't like the camera broken on it.
Oh, my God, you're so rude. You're so rude. Yuck. Which brings me on to my final question of the quiz.
Ooh.
True or false? In Ipswich, local people often recount stories of the mystical running albino, who can be seen out jogging in capri pants and a headband on evenings in the summer. True or false, Christina? True or false?
I'd say that was false.
False. Why do you say that?
Because I believe that that person could be 27 weeks pregnant and able to run. Could they be? Could they?
I think they might be.
Legend has it.
Legend has it. She has now become pregnant and can no longer run.
Actually, to be fair, no longer or just generally, you know, generally can't run. Not no longer. Could never really run anyway. I mean, sorry, that person, not me.
That person, the legend of the running albino. Yeah. So that is the quiz completed. You did particularly well, only getting one question wrong, which I think leaves you with around 85%. Well done.
Visit us on the web, thewhitenoiseshow.com. Thewhitenoiseshow.com.
Your last comments regarding being 27 weeks pregnant brings us on nicely to my next issue. My issue this week is passing it on.
Passing what on, Sarah? A?
It's the big A.
The big A. AIDS?
No. Albinism. Passing albinism.
Oh, right, that thing. Oh, right, that. Yeah,
that
right.
Thing. You know the thing this whole show's about, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You got that?
Yeah, I forgot, yeah.
Both have it, you know?
Yeah.
White hair, red eyes, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, speak for yourself, not me.
No, I was basing that on you.
Oh, thanks.
Do you know, once Christina said to me, listeners, she said, the only time I realise how weird I look is when I spend time with you. How rude.
And what's wrong with that?
How awfully rude.
Well, can I just tell you something? I was out yesterday going to the shop, and it's if you're not in the UK, you won't know this, but it's absolutely ridiculously unseasonably hot here. So I went to the shop to buy us all an ice cream. Anyway, I was walking back, and there were about three teenage girls, don't know what age, maybe 16 or so, and I walked past them, and you know, I wasn't expecting anything, and I heard one of them say to the other one, oh my god, and I was thinking, all right, here we go, her hair's lush, I want hair like her, and the other one's like, yeah, god, her hair, and they honestly, there was nobody else, like you'll be saying, yeah, but
you sure?
So no,
sure about that, because you can't see real well.
There actually was nobody else there. And she went, oh my god, that's lush. I want hair like that. And the other one was like, yeah. I was thinking, OMG, do you really? Do you really want hair like me?
If only you knew. If only they knew what it was like, hey?
Wasn't that nice?
That was lovely. That was absolutely lovely. Talking of the heat wave, I was thinking, is this some kind of like karmic thing going on for people with albinism? Has somebody with albinism done something horrendously wrong in the UK, so therefore we're getting sunburn weather for another month of the year?
Yeah, I think they have. I think someone's done something horrendous.
So if somebody would like to own up to that, that would
can
be
you
nice.
Own up, please, because it's just ridiculously hot here. And to be honest, I don't like putting sunblock on, but I have to keep putting it on at the moment because otherwise I will fry. And it's just ridiculous. I cannot cope. It's just stupid. It's 30 degrees and whatever that is in other Fahrenheit and things, I don't know. But
it's hot. That's what it is.
It's hot.
It's hot. And I have to say, we were discussing this earlier, weren't we, that actually we'd like to be wearing our autumnal boots.
We were. We were just
like to wear some boots. Yeah. You can't wear boots in this kind of weather, can you?
No, you can't even comprehend boots, can you?
Don't even want them near my feet.
No. But I would like to be thinking about boots, but it's too hot for boots. So
anyway.
Yeah, we digress.
We totally digress. So back on the subject. So my issue this week is passing it on.
Passing albinism on. Yes.
And about the dilemma, obviously not so much of a dilemma for yourself, given that you have one child and you're 27 weeks pregnant. But what's currently a dilemma for me, and I'm guessing for other people with albinism, is to have children or to not have children, or whether you intervene with some form of genetic counselling, kind of what I think what they call PGD IVF. I have no idea what any of that stands for. And it only came into my mind because I was watching a program on television about somebody with, it's actually like randomly Treacher-Collins syndrome, which is nothing to do with albinism at all. But they went to have some genetic counselling.
Because it's so also recessive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's also recessive. Yeah. So you just don't know.
It's not recessive, is it?
I think it.
Oh, no, it's dominant, isn't it? It's 50-50. That's why he was. Got that wrong.
Yeah. Anyway. But it got me to thinking about genetic counselling. And so I looked into it a little bit further for the first time in quite a few years. And actually, as it turns out, in the UK now, it is been passed by the Ethics Committee to have forms of IVF which allow you to select embryos that don't have albinism before they're reimplanted via IVF, so that you can make a decision not to pass on your condition. And that, to me, kind of raised lots of different questions in my mind about whether or not that's something that I should consider doing or not when I have children. And I just thought it was quite an interesting topic to bring up.
So what are your thoughts on it? Would you have like a blood test to ascertain if your partner was also a carrier and then take it from there? Or what would you do? Or would you just take your chances? Or what would you do?
I think for me, I think we're going to go ahead and for my partner to have a blood test. And from there, then we will make an informed decision. And I think that's the best we can do at the moment. Obviously, the implications of IVF are that it costs
a lot of money.
I think I worked out it would probably end up being somewhere between, because it was such a specialist form of IVF, probably in total end up being like from start to finish about £10,000. Which is phenomenal. But I don't know if I could have children naturally now, knowing that there was a way of stopping me from passing albinism on.
But if your partner, if he doesn't carry the gene, then you're absolutely fine and there's no chance that you would, or your children would just be carriers rather than inherit the condition itself.
Absolutely. And if that was the case, then we would go ahead and have...
Just have kids as planned.
Have kids. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what would be your reason? Why has it brought up issues? Why have you thought, oh my goodness, is it because you have the knowledge that if you had a child and your partner carried the gene, you knew that at that point you would be knowingly potentially bringing a child into the world that has albinism, and that doesn't sit comfortably with you? Is that the reason?
Yeah, that's the absolute reason. Yeah, absolutely. I suppose it's because although I completely recognise I have a really high quality of life, as do the majority of people with albinism I know, and if they don't, then it's nothing to do with albinism, it's to do with other factors. Although I completely recognise that, and I have absolutely no feelings towards anyone else that decides to have children naturally without any intervention. Like, I obviously have no... I think it's really personal choice. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's, I wouldn't judge anyone else for doing it. I still would judge myself for doing it because I think I feel that I'm not sure. Maybe it's a selfish thing. Maybe it's not actually a selfless thing, perhaps. In that I don't know that I would cope very well with, like, say, when I was younger, if I got cross about something to do with albinism, I had nobody to blame or get cross with.
Because your parents didn't know that you were going to have it. Yeah.
So it was like, well, I can get cross all I want, but I knew that they didn't know, so I can't blame them. There's nobody to blame. Whereas I feel that if I passed it on to a child, they would have somebody to blame.
So is it because when they're older, they come home from school, they've been bullied, they're really upset, they say, oh, mummy, why did you have me? Is that the reason? Or is it because, and so therefore you'd feel guilty and sad? Or is it because, you know, you could anticipate the things that might come up against them? Or is it a bit of both?
I think it's a bit of everything. I think it's a combination of, I think it would be horrible for them to come home from a day at school, and whether they told me or not, you'd probably know what was happening at school, wouldn't you? So I think that would be horrendous. And I also think, I guess, I always stand by the fact that I do feel that albinism potentially has brought more to my life than it's taken away on many levels. But it has taken things away from my life in terms of things kind of careers wise, some life opportunities and stuff like that have kind of gone by the wayside because of it. And I'm not sure that I would feel comfortable knowing that that's something I could have prevented from stopping them. Like, because don't get me wrong, I totally recognize when you have children, there can be any number of things that can go, do you know what I mean? Like, it's,
well, and the likelihood, actually, because albinism is relatively rare, the likelihood is they're more likely to have 1,001 things than they are to have albinism.
Absolutely. And I completely recognize that, but my feeling is that anything else that happens to them, I won't have control over.
Whereas, like your parents.
Absolutely, like my parents. So if they're born with, I don't know, any other genetic conditions, or they're kind of, I don't know, whatever it might be, that's something I can't control and I'm unaware of. Mm. Whereas this is something I am aware of and could.
So here's another question. So say your partner has the test and it says, yes, he is a carrier.
Mm.
You make the decision not to have children naturally. You make a decision to spend £10,000 on IVF. Mm-hmm. The IVF doesn't work. I'm not making assumptions, but I guess you don't have millions of pounds of savings. What do you do? Do you then, knowing that he's a partner, your IVF hasn't worked, do you knowingly then just stuff it and say, okay, well, this hasn't worked, but I really want kids, I will get pregnant naturally? Or do you then make the decision that you then won't have children?
I don't know, and I think that's kind of one of the long list of questions that,
once you open up Pandora's box, you can't, you know,
you can't close it again. And I think, and I agree with that, and I think that's where I still have a lot of thinking to do and a lot of questions that kind of I need to answer before I and myself and my partner take step forwards. I think kind of probably the important thing to say here now is that my partner has no
reason why he should be a carrier, is there?
No, there's no reason at all. But there's no reason why, on the same token, there's no reason why he wouldn't be. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got the same chance as anyone else in the population. And actually, for him to have a child with albinism isn't a problem. And he has no inclination to do the IVF. He doesn't really want to. He doesn't see it as a thing. But then the way I look at that is, that's not him that's going to have to suffer the wrath of
but then equally, that's an interesting point, because it takes two to have a child, you know. It's in terms of a recessive condition, it's both your genes, so wouldn't he be equally to blame?
Yeah, he would be equally to blame, I guess, but then I don't know that he would feel the same way, in that he's not experienced the same things in life. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, he experiences things alongside me, but he's only had those experiences for me as an adult. And, you know, he wasn't there.
So he shares the albinism experience secondhand rather than...
Yeah, rather than firsthand. And I think that's, for me, that's the issue. Did it ever cross your mind when you decided to have children? Did it ever kind of come into...
I'll be really honest. No, I've always from a very young age, I've always wanted kids, and I've actually always assumed that I'd be able to have kids. And it turns out that I've had to have fertility treatment, nothing major, just some medication because I've got PCOS. And so that was the focal point actually for me, was being able to get pregnant rather than whether my child will have albinism. It didn't cross my mind, I have to say. I don't know why. I mean, could be naive, it might not be, I don't know. I mean, my partner, he doesn't have albinism. There's no history of it in his family. Equally, there's no history of it in my family either. So that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But I thought the chances... In fact, I didn't think about it, but I guess possibly subconsciously, I thought the chances are so slim of me having a child with albinism. And I mean, I know it does happen because we've both seen people at conferences and stuff who have had children with albinism. One has it and one doesn't, and they've got a child with albinism. So I know that it can happen, obviously, and genetically it can happen. But I think possibly in my head, I thought, no, the chances are so slim that I would be prepared to take the risk. But like I said earlier, for me, the focus was actually, will I get pregnant? Will I be able to have a much wanted child that I've always sort of made the assumption that I'd have, rather than will I pass on my genetic condition to them? It didn't cross my mind. I'm pregnant now, 27 weeks, touch wood, it all goes okay. And I haven't ever once thought, oh, I wonder what colour hair this child will have. You know, it doesn't dawn on me. And I think the fact I'm so pleased that I am pregnant sort of has deflected away from those possible thoughts. And actually, when you are pregnant, you're just so pleased that you're pregnant, and you're so pleased that you just want it to all work out and everything to be okay and the birth to be okay and everything else, that to me, that would be the last thing on my mind. And when my son was born, equally, when I was pregnant with him, didn't think about it, didn't, you know, with my partner, we didn't even have a discussion. Would we have a child if it had out, you know, would we have children? Would we pass it on? We didn't actually ever have that discussion, just because I don't think that he cares. But equally, I guess possibly it could be statistically, because I know it's not likely to happen, but also it could possibly be because I don't necessarily care so much, because I just want children. And you know, whether that's me being selfish, that's for somebody else to make that decision. I, you know, my child, he doesn't have albinism. And, you know, whilst he was coming out of me, I didn't think, you know, oh, you know, the first, I didn't ask the first, because I had a C-section with him, you know, so I didn't see him straight away. I didn't shout across the screen, ah, oh, what colour hair has he got? Does it have white hair? What colour are his eyes? Are they red? Are they blue? Are they violet? What colour are they? You know, I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, apart from, you know, being in shock that I was having a C-section, it all being that horrific, I didn't, you know, and he was passed to me, and, you know, I just saw my baby. I didn't even see what colour hair he had. You know, the whole thing, albinism, just didn't play any part in my decision-making whatsoever.
I find it interesting, isn't it? Because I think there are many things that we, albinism-wise, I think there's quite a lot we agree on. And this is obviously an area that it's not that we disagree in terms of thinking either one of us is right or wrong, but we obviously come at it from completely different kind of views. And whether that's because, like you said, for you, it's been the issue that actually you just wanted to be pregnant. And for me, at this time, I have no...
You have no reason to believe you wouldn't get pregnant.
Yeah, absolutely. So therefore, like, that's not kind of in my mind. That's not a worry in my mind. You know, I assume I will, so that's fine. So therefore, maybe that deflected away from it. Whereas for me, maybe that ends up being the focus of it. And I distinctly remember when you had your son, I remember that being one of the first things on my mind was, does he have albinism? You know, it's not even my child, isn't he? Which I guess shows that it kind of plays on my mind kind of a lot more heavily. And you say, oh, I don't know if it's just whether that's just a selfish, you know, thing that you didn't think about it. I don't think it is a selfish thing, because I almost feel that me not wanting to have a child with albinism is almost selfish. Do you know what I mean? I'm almost doing that for selfish reasons. I'm not actually necessarily doing it for the child's sake. I'm doing it for my own sake, of not having to deal with the repercussions of them having albinism. Does that make sense?
I think it's all such a personal thing, and I think it would be so wrong for anybody to make any judgments on whether somebody does or doesn't.
Absolutely.
And especially if you don't have, I think it's you know, it's actually it's a burden is a strong word, but most people don't have to think when the, you know, if they want children, should I have children because I will pass something on. They don't have to think about that. And actually, if you really analyze it, it's quite a big thing to, you know, it's quite a big thing to have to think about. It's, you know, it's actually a big deal. I think, you know, I was a wally and naive and possibly didn't think about it. I don't even know what
I don't think
were,
I don't think it is that though.
If you analyse it, though, if you think about it a lot, you know, it is a it is a big decision, because you know that you're not 100%, your genes aren't 100% healthy. So we know some families where two people with albinism have had children. And, you know, I just think that's so amazing. So, you know, I would never... I have no opinions one way or the other. You know, it's such a personal thing, isn't it? I wouldn't...
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, my own feelings about it, I don't... Yeah, hose those upon anyone else. So it's not that I'm sort of sat here going, oh, I can't believe that you're having blah, 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 without trying, you know, I don't have that at all. It doesn't kind of enter my head. It's just a kind of an individual dilemma, isn't it, really, I suppose. Let's move on. Very deep. Sorry about that, listeners.
Very heavy.
Yeah. Open a window.
If you want to get in touch, email us thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com. That's thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com.
Stop the strange noise. Stop.
Shh. I don't claim to be a newsreader. I'm just reading the
news.
Why don't
you just say this is the news?
Well, they don't do that on Sky, do they? They don't go... Hi.
Well, they don't do that noise either, do they? They do like bah, 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 Sky News.
Oh, my goodness. You sounded like you were from the 1960s.
That's
terrific. That was like some wobbly kind of like dreadful synthesized keyboard music.
Oh, it's like the BBC one. The... I can't do it. But it's got like the beeps and the noises and stuff on it, hasn't it? The BBC one. It's like...
Yes, Sarah, but it doesn't sound anything like that, love.
No, I was just demonstrating the beeps. Because it has like beeps in it, doesn't it? Like, and then...
It does. And I think we all know what a beep is. Don't think you have to demonstrate that. Sorry.
I think we should get music for the news. That's what I'm saying.
One more time. Can you just demonstrate what a beep is, please?
I think you're mocking me now.
For all you out there that don't know what a beep is, it goes like this.
Stop it.
She can't do it.
I want music for the news next time. Next podcast, I want some music.
All right, well, if you want to email any jingles in for our news, if you want to create a jingle. In fact,
so
if you want to
Christina not stops making stupid noises. That's right. Anyway, read the news.
If you want to send us a jingle in, please do so. Our email is thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com. So, in this month's news, we have a very sad story from somebody that I can always trust to send in news, is Gabe. He's ace. He sent a story, which comes from Hampshire, actually, Alton, Hampshire in England, about, it's very sad, Sarah, it's about a rare albino squirrel.
A rare albino squirrel. Apart from that place in America where they have like counting games where they're like, you know.
Yeah, we're not in America, love.
All right. In Hampshire, it's sad. I get the picture.
Okay. A rare albino squirrel nicknamed Snow White will have to spend the rest of her life in captivity because she would be killed by her cousins in the wild if she wasn't.
OMG.
The squirrel was found bloodied after being attacked by grey squirrels and taken to an animal rescue centre, nicknamed after the Grimm's fairy tale character because she enjoys staring at her reflection in the mirror, Snow White has now recovered after 3 days on painkillers and antibiotics.
I can't believe they try and go, oh, we've called her Snow White because she likes to look at herself in the mirror. No, you called her Snow White because she's white. She is Snow White in colour.
Well, listen to this, though. The rarity of it all. The chances of an albino squirrel being born are 1 in 100,000. So with a grey squirrel population of 2.5 million in the UK, it is thought that there are only 25 with a genetic mutation alive at any one time.
You can imagine some like sad maths geek working that out, can't you? 2.5 million.
Well, exactly. And the next part, it rang true. I thought of you when I read this.
Oh, right, yeah.
One of the rescuers said, "We put a mirror in her cage so we could keep an eye on her, and she loves looking at herself in it. I'm sure she is asking the mirror, who is the fairest of them all?"
Oh!
Like in the fairy tale.
Yes, yes.
Snow White will not be going back into the wild where it is too dangerous for her and will instead be sent to a squirrel sanctuary for her own safety.
Maybe that's where they should send you. Not a squirrel sanctuary, but like...
A sanctuary.
A sanctuary of some sort to keep you safe.
Anyway, moving on, Sarah. We're on the news section.
Like... Sorry, news section. Don't do the noise.
No, I won't. Well, that was at the beginning. Tyra Banks from America's Next Model. What's it called?
America's Next Top Model.
Next Top Model has a new fantasy book out called Modelland, which was released earlier this month. One of the main characters is a person with albinism. And she took inspiration for this character from having a male model on her show.
So, you know, I watched that. I watched it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I did. And I have to say, it was the most ridiculous segment ever. And it was just a bit of a waste of space and Tyra Banks. Don't get me wrong, right? I love a bit of Tyra on Next Top Model. Love a bit of Tyra. But the Tyra Banks show to me is just a little bit self-indulgent.
Well, I think most people, Tyra is very, obviously big in America. Over here, we have it one of our slightly less popular channels, don't we? It's not like lots of people possibly wouldn't know who she was. I find her quite annoying. Sorry if I've offended loads of people, but...
Sorry if Tyra's listening. If Tyra likes Tyra, Elvis,
if you're listening, she might be listening.
Sorry, but... Tyra.
Anyway, the last story, actually... should have been the lead story, but I do want to discuss off the back of it. So the story is, this was the headline in BBC News, so it must be true. Drug aids albino people's sight. A drug which is already licensed for use could be used to treat sight problems in some people with albinism, say US researchers. Writing in the Journal of Clinical Investigation, doctors said a drug increased melanin production in mice. Other doctors described the work as a substantial leap forward. It will help people with OCA1B. Scientists at the National Eye Institute, Maryland, were investigating a drug, nitisinone, which is used to treat blood conditions, but it is also known to increase hair and eye pigmentation. Giving the drug to albino mice increased the amount of melanin in the eyes after 1 month of treatment. However, the researchers could not tell if it will improve the eyesight in the mice, as they are generally nocturnal creatures who have different eye structures. The researchers also do not know what would happen in human patients. One of the scientists was quoted saying, "A significant unanswered question is whether improving pigmentation in patients with albinism would improve visual function." However, they added, it was plausible that increasing pigmentation may help with other symptoms.
Mm.
So, what I wanted to discuss was, well, discuss that story.
Mm.
Now, we've talked about it before, and we believe, and I could be wrong because my science is very dodgy, that it would only be for people, not like you and me, Sarah, who... are of the white persuasion, but people who are able to produce tyrosinase. I'm assuming that once, if you had, I don't know if it's going to be some kind of injection, but if you had the injection and your body does not produce tyrosinase, then you cannot continually therefore reproduce the pigment melanin. Whereas if you are able to produce tyrosinase, but then pigment, whatever pathway is faulty, i.e. OCA2 and 1B and whatever, would it be more applicable for them?
I think you're right. I think having read the story, it looks very much like your body would have to have something, presumably the tyrosinase, a capability to make tyrosinase present for it to be effective, yeah. So, having said that, though, they did it on mice, right?
Yes, which would probably be OCA1, wouldn't they?
More than likely, because I've never seen... Well, I have seen some funny mottled albino mice, but
yeah,
like generally speaking, they are the white kind of red-eyed kind of proper nothing, aren't they?
Like Sarah is.
Oh my god. OMG. If Tyra heard you say that to me, she'd be very upset.
She'd probably write a book about it, wouldn't she?
She probably would write a book about it.
I don't know. Animals could be different in the way that albinism is presented, possibly. I don't know. But you can look like, you can have white hair, kind of, can't you? But still have 1B. I'm not really sure between the difference. Does anyone know? Sarah, do you know the difference between OCA 1B and OCA 2? I don't know.
It's because it's on a different...
Are the faults on a different gene?
Yeah. Faults for a different gene.
But, I mean, essentially, I mean, if you have OCA 1B, do you present it in the same way as OCA 2?
Well, I mean, they're a different coloration, aren't they? Because OCA 2, usually you're a bit more ginger, aren't you? Whereas OCA 1B, you're a little more just, like, dusty blonde.
So what, yellowy?
Yeah, yellowy blonde, yeah. Which makes, if you're saying it's on different parts of the genome, that it's, you know, the fault is at a different point in the melanin production, it would more than likely make sense that you'd end up with a slightly different coloration.
If anybody knows anything more about this, then please email us at thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @whitenoiseshow or find us on Facebook, because it would be interesting to know actually factually what the outcome of this would be. But just supposing, which clearly I don't think it is appropriate for us, because I have never had a test, because I don't even know if I can have a test, and I wouldn't see the point in this, but I do presume that I have OCA 1A. Would you think so too, Sarah?
Given that your eyes are red, yes. I'm only joking, listeners. I'm only joking. She's actually got blue eyes. It's fine.
Fine. But anyway, you probably have OCA 1A too, don't you?
Yes, I would imagine so. I think we are the same colour.
So, but just suppose it was appropriate for us. Would you consider having any form of treatment? I mean, injections, I guess, aren't that invasive. But, I mean, I guess any kind of form of medication could be harmful to some extent. You never know, like taking paracetamol, you know, whatever, Advil, wherever you come from in the world, whatever you want to call it. You know, it can all have an effect on you, can't it, whatever you take. So, you know, would
you... I find that quite an interesting thing that you said there, because the first thing that would spring to my mind about having the pigment injection to cure albinism wouldn't be what the negative side effects are.
Mm.
My first question in my head would be, is that something I want to do or not? Does that make sense in terms of whether I would want to cure my albinism?
Yeah, I was just throwing it out. No, that wouldn't be my first thing that I think of. I would think, would there be any point to it? Would it? And the point is, and I think they've kind of said that to what extent would it improve your vision? I mean, would it? I guess it would improve photophobia possibly, but all the rest of the damage to your eyes has been done in utero, hasn't it? I mean, injecting pigment isn't going to make any difference to that, is it? But hypothetically speaking, it was. I mean, I just don't know. If someone would give me a pigment pill, like I've said before, would I take it? I have no idea. I mean, you know, if it were to radically change me, I'm not saying that this is what this will do, but just, you know, we're talking about it hypothetically. Would you do that? Would you change who you are? You know, would you take a pill that would possibly give you normal colour hair, normal vision, make you look like anybody else? Would you do that at your age you are now, in this current moment?
I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that question. I really don't know, because there's part of me that says no, I wouldn't, because actually this is who I am. Albinism is very much, doesn't define me, but it's very much a part of me, and a part of me that I value as well, not a part of me that I, you know, I do very much feel that it's made me who I am, and that's a good thing. On a practical note, I think for me it would be more about the practicalities. It wouldn't, certainly for me now, it wouldn't be about appearance. It wouldn't be about having a different coloured hair or whatever, because I'd dye my hair if that's what I, you know what I mean? I don't need a pigment pill to cure that. So obviously that's not the issue. For me, the issue would be, on a practical level, if someone could make me fully sighted, would I take that opportunity? I think it's a scary opportunity, like a really scary opportunity, but it's one that I think I'm pretty sure I'd take.
I think you're right. If I don't care about my colouring whatsoever. That part really doesn't bother me, because if I was that fussed, you know, there are ways, as we talked about on other shows, to disguise yourself. And I cannot be faffed with doing anything like that. Love me, hate me, I don't care.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd rather if you loved me, you know, everybody, that'd be great. Thanks very much.
As Brother Ali says, you ain't gotta love me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if somebody could just make me able to drive, I would love them forever and ever and ever. You Americans don't know how lucky you are who have got OCA, who can drive. You're so, so lucky. It ain't never, ever going to happen over here. I really don't think it is. And if it did, I don't even know that I'd qualify anyway.
No, I don't think I'd do it either.
I don't think I would do it, no. But if someone could just make the... I think it would be really scary, because you do hear about people, I know this is a different situation, but people who are totally blind... I mean, people that have lost their sight and then they're able to see again, they find it a really scary and hard prospect. And actually, some people just can't get used to it psychologically. They find it really hard, you know, being able to see and see more than they could before. And I think you have to learn to see, don't you? I mean, I don't necessarily know if that would be the case with us. I have no idea, because you don't know what you're missing, do you? So I have no idea what it would be like. But I think it would be scary, but I would definitely do it for possibly the two reasons that I've mentioned on other show that I would love to be able to drive so badly, and I would love to be the person, that the sociable person that, you know, I want to be able to just wave across somebody at the street and go, hi, nice to see you again. You know, that lovely chat we had for 3 hours. I do know who you are. Hello.
Absolutely.
The situation I'm in at the moment, where it's like, oh, well, who are you? I just don't have a clue, blah, blah, blah. You know, those are possibly the two reasons why I would absolutely love to be able to see better. If someone were to give me this, some kind of tablet, I would absolutely 100% take it for the vision aspect. You know, and you know, funnily enough, I don't care. I mean, I probably do care that I can't read books very well and stuff like that, and I have to use a magnifier, but they seem kind of insignificant for me at my current point in terms of, you know, it's the driving. It's just such a pain not to be able to drive, and especially when you have children, not to be able to drive. It's just so annoying. And when your partner can't drive either, it's just frustrating. So that's my rant, yeah.
That was a beautiful rant. I would like to say, as discussed in the past, there is a solution to books. Get an iPad.
Well, I just go into Audible, thanks very much.
Fine. Just giving you some choices.
I could, but that means I have to go out and buy an iPad. We're not all loaded, Sarah. We don't have loads of money like you do.
Oh, yes. My mountains of money.
iPads and anything else we can with my. Anything else? Igloos?
Igloos. I've got a couple of igloos, yeah.
Brilliant. Iguanas. Got a few of those.
You iguanas. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Insects.
Ice cream.
Loads of ice cream. Do you know... I have some ice cream in the freezer that I've forgotten about. I've got some Ben and Jerry's cookie dough in the freezer. Oh.
Oh.
That's what I'm going to get after this. Oh, yeah. 30 degrees and I'm eating the Ben and Jerry's.
I've had my Mars ice cream today. Thank you very much.
That is so nothing, because not only do I have cookie dough in the freezer, I also have fish food.
I don't like fish food, so you're all right with that.
You don't like fish food?
No, I don't, because it's just I don't like the chocolate in it. It's too hard.
Oh.
No, sorry, you've not impressed
me. I have no idea what to say to that, because I just can't imagine not liking fish food.
The concept's
completely passed me by. I don't really know where to go with that. So discussion forum-wise, it's over.
On that note, listeners, I think we shall say goodbye. So if you want to get in touch, it's thewhitenoiseshow@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at White Noise Show, or on Facebook, just search for The White Noise Show. So from me, Christina, bye-bye.
And from me, Sarah, bye-bye.
Bye. Sometimes, baby, you're just like me.
Ooh, a mint feast, that'd be nice.
Do you know, though, with the old feasts, that bit of chocolate in the middle is nothing now, is it? So small.